And welcome everybody to Overtime here on YouTube. I seem to be here in YouTube land. Kyle, you make it okay?
Yes.
It's weird here in YouTube land. Rob, is that you? Do I see you in the distance?
That is in fact me.
Okay, and you're on YouTube as well? Is that Gila? Gila, are you there?
Hello.
Okay, welcome. Welcome to YouTube. And Alex didn't make it, did he? Didn't. Oh, that's too bad. What happened to him?
Oh, there he is.
Okay. I thought something bad happened to you. It happens sometimes.
Oh, no. Here I am.
All right.
And my mic's on, which is, you know.
That is an improvement. A February miracle. That's for sure. can we confirm that we are, in fact, actually broadcasting on YouTube as well?
We can, in fact, confirm that. Welcome to the 34 people who are streaming with us.
Wow.
As I say that right now. Also, for what it's worth, when the stream began, it was as you were talking to us. So that was, if we looked a little dazed for a second, it was because you were here, and it was there's a lot happening all at once.
Wait, are you saying I started talking mid-sentence?
No, they're...
So,
what?
They're monitoring both.
Oh.
So it's like you're getting a delay, and you have the delay to get to the site, and then you also have other delay, and they're also hearing us live. So
okay.
Yes, we found ourselves dealing with two Emmanuels at once, and we weren't prepared.
Yeah. Also, thank you for the translation, Kyle.
Sorry, Gila.
I appreciate it.
One of me is more than enough, so I'm sorry you had to deal with two of me. All right, well, you know what? Our phone number, 802-321-4225, in case people just want to jump right in and say what's on their mind. Boy, you know, this has been a difficult week. It really has been because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next. It's kind of like, you know, it reminds me of the pandemic because, you know, when that first was beginning, it just seemed like things were constantly getting worse. And we didn't know how bad they were going to get. We really didn't. And a lot of people seem to forget that now. They're able to look back with 2020 hindsight and say, well, this is what we got wrong. Okay, but at the time, people didn't know that. And people were panicking and people were dying. There's no question about that. But, you know, you'd wake up one day and the stock market would be down 1,000 points. And not that I really care about that, but it just sort of indicated how unpredictable everything was. I kind of feel like that's where we are now. In fact, I also feel like this is just another disease. And, you know, I don't mean that to be nasty. I just mean that it's a sickness. Well, I guess I'm still being nasty, but it's this kind of blatant ignorance. There's no way I can say it without being nasty. I'm sorry. But this kind of thing that's going on, you know, it's so regrettable. It's so easy to avoid, and it's also so inevitable that we have to go through this, you know, to learn. And it sucks that we have to do that. But here we are. And how we act and how we treat each other, I think that becomes so important now. I just don't want anybody to feel like they're the only voice in the wilderness crying out against this. And for those of you who, for some reason, support this, all right, you know what? I would like to be proven wrong, but I don't think I will be. And I don't really know if I'd like to be proven wrong because that would mean that this kind of thing is okay. I don't see how this ends well. I do see how there'll be new beginnings. I do see how we'll need to rebuild and do things better. But let's hold on to our values. Let's hold on to our love of democracy and conversation and diversity. Yeah, I'll say it.
Something I've been thinking about is how we need to be forceful, not fearful, at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Alex, what are you typing there? It's very loud.
Oh, I didn't realize that my mic wasn't muted. That's the problem with having it open there.
Yeah, well, okay, either your mic is on and you're typing, or your mic is off and you're talking. So which is
that's
it?
Right. Yeah, that's right. I was just trying to add ambiance with a mechanical keyboard to the discussion.
Alex, you are the ambiance, so you don't have to add anything.
Yeah, that's true. Well, what I was doing was scouring through some other TLDs using the same script that I wrote.
Did another gov site get registered while we were talking?
No, not that I've seen. Well, I won't be able to to check for new things until tomorrow.
Why not? Why can't you check right now?
When all my data is updated.
Why can't you check right now?
Well, because I need updated zone files in order to figure out what's in the .gov zone, and I won't get those until tomorrow. I mean, I guess I could technically download the new zone files, but I don't think they will have been updated until tomorrow morning.
Okay, all right.
Well, so there's a little bit of a lag, but I was looking through other TLDs and figuring out just specifically what was new and, you know, how active these things were, but. Yeah, this find today was really quite interesting.
Oh yeah, this whole last week or two has been quite interesting. It's too bad we didn't get to do a show last week, and you know, quickly, yeah. The reason we weren't able to do that, we did have a software issue that we didn't find until it was too late to resume what we were trying to do. We took extra steps to ensure that the sound sounded good, but in so doing, somehow something got reverted that was kind of undetectable. Do you want to say more about that, Kyle?
Yeah, part of it is like just sort of unexplainable at this point. I had been playing around, which is always an indicator that things might go wrong, but I was testing out some software known as Icecast because I was interested in alternatives or at least backups to some of the streaming that we're already doing now with a service provider like YouTube. So in doing that, like playing with a client, this was like mid-December. So because the bandwidth issue or something was slowing down a bit last week, we rebooted a couple times and ended up that our connection to the studio, some of the parameters had been changed to that particular service and a different codec that we don't use.
Yeah, it didn't get changed by us, though. That's the thing to emphasize.
Yeah, I can't explain it.
It was changed by the program itself.
But we had rebooted.
And we didn't expect that, so that we weren't looking for it.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at those settings. And we, you know, we have a couple backups and things that we normally go through in this situation. And it really is that we were troubleshooting this one thing and weren't looking there. It took too long to switch to other of our guests or other systems at the station that we could have used. And they were really trying back at WBAI. Big shout out to everybody there on the engineering side, doing their absolute best to make things work. But it really ended up being sort of an unexplainable thing after we rebooted. And I think we were doing that just to make sure everything was working. But we figured it out and it won't happen again, I promise. So,
no,
yeah.
That won't happen again. Something else will, but not
right.
That. So that's look, check that one off the list.
I was the pilot and yeah, it's my fault.
Go ahead, Gila.
So a lot of our listeners, especially our active chatters, have been offering very helpful suggestions about last week and in general with other issues we've been having. I'm going to make a statement. I would like it if you guys could help me on that. The systems we're using to connect to the station are not ours to select, correct?
That's correct. There's broadcast equipment and we're using some of the best software that we have. It was misconfigured. That was the problem. When it's set right, it works fantastic.
Absolutely. So we do appreciate the feedback we're getting from a lot of our listeners, but do need to remind you, especially the folks who don't live in WBAI broadcast range, that we are not exclusively a podcast. And because we do broadcast on terrestrial radio immediately before this, some of the setup that we have is tied in directly to what works for the station and is not exclusively, we love you guys, but this event is not exclusively about the overtime broadcast.
It was overtime that I was thinking of, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you can't have overtime without off the hook. just to make that clear, you know, if the Rangers played the Islanders, right, and you just had overtime, you didn't have the game. Don't you think the fans would be kind of pissed off? Of course they would be. That's not how it works. Overtime follows regular time. And that's, we don't call the show regular time. We call it off the hook. But that's not the issue. The issue is we do that show, and then afterwards, as we're sitting back and relaxing and hanging out with our friends who I believe everybody on this particular forum is, we do overtime, and then we do super overtime after that. But we're not going to talk about that. Yes, Rob, go ahead.
Yes, just, well put. And to put it another way, if you don't off the hook, you can't have any overtime. How can you have any overtime if you don't off the hook?
All right, now we're going to have to deal with Roger Waters on that. So, yeah. All right, so we have a phone call who's been waiting a very long time.
They're very patient. They may not have remained there.
Well, let's find out how patient they are. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Are you still there? Yeah, I don't think they're very patient. I don't think they hung around. All right. Well, then our phone number, once again, is 802-321-4225. And if somebody calls in, we'll put you on. Yes, Gila.
So I had, excuse me, a thought. I would also like to point out that Trader Joe's now has a Caesar salad dip, and it's amazing. So jump on that if you can.
What the hell does that have to do with anything else?
I've been noshing on it, and it's delicious, but that was why I had to clear my throat.
Okay.
I did want to share a piece of wisdom from my faith tradition that I think speaks to this particular moment.
Go ahead.
He used to say, "It is not your duty to finish the work, but neither are you at liberty to neglect it." We know that each one of us individually is not going to be able to do everything that needs to be done right now, but it is incumbent upon you to do what you can. You need to make sure that you are participating in the fight. Whatever your role in that is, you can't do nothing. You can't do it all alone, but you can't do nothing. And I think that really, I try to keep that in mind all the time, but I think it really speaks beautifully to a lot of what we've been talking about tonight and in general.
Well said. And I think a lot of people might not realize how easy it is not to do nothing, how low a bar that is to do something. The smallest effort matters. It can reach somebody, talking to somebody, listening to somebody, reading something and sharing something, just participating in some way. That is not nothing. All right. And we all have the ability to do that. I know it's a lot. I know it's easy to feel completely overwhelmed and that there's no hope and that we're all just, hurtling to our doom one way or another. But we're together, and we have each other, and we have our voices, and we should use them, because we're in a unique place. I like to say that, that sure, it sucks, and it's crazy, and we deserve better, but boy, this is an interesting time, isn't it? And they're going to write all kinds of history books, and maybe what you say will matter in the years ahead. Who knows? But you're in a unique place. And you're with friends. So let's try to remember that. All right, we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, I am the first caller.
You're the first caller. Could you speak up, first caller?
Is this better? I'm putting my hand to direct my voice into the microphone.
That is better, yes. Where are you calling from?
I am Lou Raichu. I am calling from Washington, D.C., which is practically Donald Trump's backyard, which makes everything that was on Off the Hook a bit more scarier.
Yes.
Now that's me there.
Wow. What's on your mind?
I mean nothing. I've been listening to the show for a while now, reading the magazine, all that, yeah. But one of the things that my friend said was that, after the orange guy, after his 4 years, everything's going to be so screwed up. He's just going to say, "Well, I'm going to declare martial law, and this is how it is. I stay in power." So, just think about what happened in the Philippines, other places where they declare martial law. Yeah,
interesting. Even with the Philippines, a place that lived through the hell of Ferdinand Marcos. And then what do? They elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to take over the country. And, it seems kind of like a parallel, You know, we are not the only country that supposedly loses its mind occasionally and does something that clearly is not in our best interest. But maybe somehow that moves us forward. I don't know how, but maybe somehow that's what winds up happening.
Oh, I hope. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff to clean up after this guy. Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, the other thing I wanted to say, since I got here before Rebel, I've been hearing him.
Good job, by the way. Good job on that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, hopefully this won't distract him too much, but he's been going on about using the Lynx browser on his on-one PC. Now, I like to use another text-based browser called W3M. It's in the package repository of most distros.
Okay.
So, I just grabbed that. But what's special about W3M is that it can display images in your terminal. I usually use it in frame buffer mode. So you do Control Alt and then one of the F keys. I think on most systems, the desktop, the X server starts on the FB6. So to get to that, you do Control Alt F6. But you just do Control Alt one of the function keys, and you get to a frame buffer terminal where you can log in and do that. Once you're in the frame buffer terminal, you can just type W3M. Make sure you got the W3M-IMG package to display images. And whenever you go to a site, it will display the images for the site, so that's pretty neat.
That is neat. Wow. W3M. Oh, dear. Well, it's an interesting way to end the conversation, but...
mic drop.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's a mic drop.
I guess it is. The old busy signal, for those who don't know what that sound is. That's a bit... Well, it wasn't a busy signal in this case. It was end of call, I guess. Yes, Keila?
So I did want to remind everybody that the caller who we were just on with has been hanging in hard with us since the beginning of Overtime, and do you all remember... About 14, 15 months ago, a listener remixed us saying the words gay furry hackers.
Yes, I do remember that.
That was the caller.
Wow.
Yep.
I don't remember saying that, but I do remember somebody remixing that.
That was why when we heard the name, you saw like me freak out because I was just so excited.
I thought you were choking on the Trader Joe salad. That's what I thought was happening.
It's dip. It's Caesar salad dip. Okay. And I have to tell you, it's really, really good.
No SponCon. Except to say that if you want to go out on SoundCloud and look up Blue Raichu and the Gay Furry Hackers track, it's still there and it's still awesome.
And it still slaps.
You know, as long as we're promoting things, can I promote the Hope Conference? Because this is something that's happening this year and it's going to be super important. It already is. For the first time ever, we're doing Hope Conferences in consecutive years. That's never happened before. At first, it was every 3 years, then it was every 2 years. And now, you know, if it's every 1 year, so be it. You know, we'll work a little harder, but we'll have a lot more to say. And I think it'll keep growing and become more and more important. But for it to work, we need people, obviously, to buy tickets. We need people to submit talks. We need people to submit workshop ideas. Please join the people who are doing that already. As we're not very good at promoting ourselves, we need all the help we can get as far as getting the word out. All the info right now is at hope.net. We're very, very close to getting the dormitories open. I just was checking that out last night, in fact, and it's an incredible deal. You stay on campus, and basically, it's like it's like going away camping for a few days on campus, except you're in the middle of Hope. It's really an awesome way to do it. And of course, we'll have hotel deals, too, in the area as well. But mostly we just want to hear what people are up to. We want to see creative ideas, technology used in all sorts of different ways. You can be coming from any walk of life, any philosophy. We want to hear from you, and we want to see people participate. And it's a Hackers on Planet Earth conference for the first time in an odd year. Well, second time in an odd year, because 1997 was our second conference. But ever since then, it's been only even years. And this time, it's going to be every year. That's assuming that's assuming that people show up, that we get enough people to make this something we're willing to pour our hearts and souls into. And you know what? We also need volunteers to help us do this. Volunteering is a lot of fun, and it's something where you learn all kinds of things, you meet all sorts of people, and you really build a community. It's one of the most incredible things. So all the info is at hope.net, and we really hope to see you there, and we hope to build an incredible conference, and let's make this a yearly thing. You know, we talked about doubling down when this whole thing got started, when we realized what we were in for the next 4 years. We'll double down. We'll work harder. We'll do more of what we do. And if that turns out to be a good idea, if that's something that people support, then we're gaining something from what could be negativity. So it's one way we can build a better world, I think. So hope.net. Another thing I'd like to ask people for their support, write articles for 2600. You know, we just put out the issue a couple of weeks ago. You notice the cover? You guys see the cover? Elon Musk is on the cover. Yeah. Never before has a cover come out in such a timely manner, because, you know, he was in the news when we put the cover together, which was about, 2 months ago. But now he's really in the news. And, there he is on newsstands all around the world now. And he's not happy about that. If you want to make him less happy, I guess leave it on the newsstand so more people will see it. But no, buy the issue. Bring the issue home. Frame it. Oh, we also have shirts. We have shirts with his face on it, too. So there's all kinds of ways that you can annoy him. But most importantly, supporting the magazine is what makes all this possible. And please write an article for us. If you are into any kind of technology or have ideas, thoughts, fun escapades, stories from the past or the present, write to us at 2600.com, articles at 2600.com. We also need more payphone photos. They've fallen off in the last few weeks. I don't know why. You know, we have about maybe a third what we usually have at this particular time. And I don't know if everybody's distracted. I do know there's less payphones, but, they are still there. And we certainly could use more documentation of them. So payphones at 2600.com is the email address for that. All the information's on 2600.com. I think that's pretty much everything that I have to say about that. And, of course, what Rob said at the end of the show, 2600 meetings taking place this Friday all around the world, first Friday of the month, first Friday of February. So, a lot's going on. A lot is happening. Let's make it fun. And let's be there for each other.
You can start your own meeting as well. If you're in a place or a country that does not have a lot of meetings, we encourage you to set one up and let us know if people show up and you participate. We'll be happy to add you to the next cycle of our publications of those dates and locations.
Except in Canada, where meetings are illegal.
Is that a challenge?
Well, no, I'm saying that because I can't think of any other reason why, since the pandemic, since the heyday of the pandemic, at least, they've disappeared. No meetings have relaunched. I think we had one meeting relaunched, but it didn't last very long. But come on, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, Vancouver, Winnipeg, there are so many places to have meetings that we have had meetings in the past. And all kinds of other places in the United States, Europe, Asia have relaunched. So I don't understand what's going on in Canada. So if you're in Canada, go to the meeting part of our 2600 page, 2600.com/meetings, and read the guidelines, start your own meeting, let us know, and we will publicize it, and let's get hackers together in Canada again. Unless there's a reason, unless maybe there is a law against hackers meeting on the first Friday of the month in a food court or something. Gila, did you have something?
I did, actually. We had a request to give out the number, which I realized we haven't done yet this evening.
Well, we did.
I mean, there's somebody on the... Did we?
I said the number several times.
I didn't
remember. I'm pretty sure I did. Well, Kyle's going to say it now.
802-321-4225.
I guess everybody will hear that, but they won't hear me. That's fine. That's no problem.
We do have a call as well.
And we have a call. Go ahead, Gayla.
No. Sorry, I was just confused.
Okay. We're all confused. Is that the call you were talking about, Kyle?
It was a call.
That's our other show calling us. That's what's happening there.
That's our theme song. That's very exciting. Where can I get Off the Hook magazine?
That's a great question. Wow. Where can you get Off the Hook magazine? What's wrong with us? Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we? Let's fire up the desktop publisher and put out another magazine.
Someone in the chat has this question.
Okay, so maybe they're asking where they can get 2600 magazine. It just came out wrong, right? Is that what you meant, query person? Where'd they come from? Is this a letter? What is this?
No, this is someone popped this in the chat.
Oh, chatter. Okay. Go ahead.
And yes, so until and unless we start our own Off the Hook zine, which I volunteered a copy on our brother machine over here, 2600 magazine can be found in bookstores and newsstands around the world, right?
It's every Barnes & Noble, pretty much every book chain in the continental United States and Canada that still exists. A little harder to find overseas, but you can get it easily on our store, store.2600.com. You can get printed copies. You can get a digital copy. You can have a digital copy tonight. Yeah, it's easy. Back issues, all sorts of things. So it's really simple to get.
Yeah, the name of the magazine is 2600 The Hacker Quarterly.
Yes.
That is the official name, and people could be forgiven if you're just listening to Off the Hook or Off the Hook Overtime. We don't actually talk about the publication in the same venue, but it is certainly another of our outlets for information from hackers, written by hackers, compiled and edited by hackers, and put forth out into the world to spread the word about what the modern hacker and what telecommunications networks are all about these days. We also talk about vintage systems, how the current system was built, and you know, sort of the roots of it, with the base of that, the foundation that we've basically come to know and that has evolved into the many modes that we communicate now. So yeah, we haven't mentioned it as much on the show, but it is 2600 The Hacker Quarterly. You can find out everything and get links to everything at 2600.com.
To expand on what Kyle was saying, this is a magazine that was founded by hackers. It's written by hackers. It's distributed by hackers, read by hackers, discussed by hackers, and filed away in libraries by hackers for all time, because it lasts forever. You can read an issue of 2600 from 1987, and you'll find yourself reading the articles because they're still interesting, or reading the letters, you know, or looking at the pictures. That's the magic of a magazine like this. So it's great. We're all bound together by this. Now we have another phone call?
I think.
Is this our theme calling us again? Hopefully not.
I don't know. I picked it up so quickly, I have no idea what's on the other end.
No idea. Okay, well, let's see what's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I appreciate everything you've said so far. And I dare saying you might recall me, well, I've called a few times, but right after the election, I said, this is Germany 1933. Or 32, because it was before 33. And now you're just seeing how they're doing it. And nobody knew what the actual mechanical devices would be that they're, but they're definitely doing what Hitler did, a coup from the inside. But aside from that, you also mentioned the pandemic, and it looks like a new one is budding. This is just fresh off the press, a version of the H5N1 bird flu virus known as B3.13 was confirmed in March after being introduced to cattle in late 2023, scientists said. Now this one has been detected in dairy cows in the U.S. As you know, the previous bird flu virus already jumped to humans. So, you know, and I'm not trying to propagate a conspiracy theory. We had a pandemic with the first Trump, and because of his craven, idiotic policies of isolationism is the same thing is happening again. He didn't withdraw from the WHO with the first pandemic, but he let the candidate of China, the Ethiopian now in charge of the WHO, being elected because he refused to back an interesting candidate who was an epidemiologist by the name of Navarro, but he spelled his name with a B instead of a V as the corrupt official who went to jail during the congressional for contempt of Congress, and he worked in the first Trump administration. I think it was the Commerce representative, but Dr. Navarro campaigned and was not elected. Stavros, whatever his last name is, the Ethiopian candidate is in. He was beholden to China. And again, I'm not making a conspiracy. I'm just stating facts. We'll see what happens this time.
Yeah, that's all we can do is see what happens.
Continuing to talk. No, I know. I'm all for continuing to talk, but we also have to mount a decisive response to what's going on. And, you know, I don't know what it could be, but talking alone is not enough. These people are organized. They came in with a plan, and they're implementing the plan.
Now, you're absolutely right about that, because that is something that the people I agree with, for the most part, don't seem to get, you know, as far as turning out, being loud and obnoxious. I think in ways, oftentimes, we're too considerate. You know, the right-wingers... This is one thing they get right. They know what they want. It's simple. They want their way, nothing else. But they keep demanding that. And enough of them agree what their way is that they get together and demand that. And they can't be ignored. Whereas our side, we want to hear from other people as well. And we want to know that we're being fair. We want to, not be intimidating. And I get that. For the most part, I get that. But sometimes when you're pushed into a corner, you have to react, like what you're saying. You have to do more than just talk. You have to show up. You have to be loud. You have to be abrasive. You have to be offensive sometimes. And I think we're being pushed into that. And if we don't do that, we're just going to, forever be victims. It's time that, you know, in Germany, for instance, a quarter of a million people showed up to demonstrate against Elon Musk and what he's doing there with the far right Nazi party that he basically supports. You know, now here he is in this country taking over our private data and violating our privacy, and we're doing barely anything. You know, we're getting Chuck Schumer peering over his glasses, telling folk tales, and you know, it's not enough. We need more than that.
I totally agree. And you know, one part of what you say is ingrained in, quote, our side being the side of reason. Since we are the side of reason, we are reasonable by definition. So we are not the screamy, outraged fascist who the other side seems to cherish at this point.
Right.
But we do have to do something. And, you know, we need to talk about that. Talking is good, but we need to talk about taking action.
Showing signs of dissent, you know, that is important. I can't tell you, over the last 10 or so years, the people who are opposed to what this country has been going through, they're very cautious about expressing that. Whereas the people who are in favor of you know, more of the kinds of things that we wince at, they don't seem to be at all afraid to express themselves. You know, they wave their banners, they put up stickers everywhere, they basically say whatever is on their mind, and we just have to sort of grin and bear it and say we're better than that. But not too loud, because if you say it too loud, it might, you know, evoke some kind of a conflict or confrontation. I think maybe those days need to be in the past, where people start speaking a little louder and not being quiet. You know, I get.
Well, they are in the past. They are in the past. And as you rightly pointed out, once people see their Social Security payments being suspended or their veteran checks being suspended or their money supply being suspended simply because they're speaking up or they're not liked by the present administration, it may ring a bell, but it may be too late. Well, if they have that kind of grip on our lives, we have, you know, we need to not let it get to that. But it is getting to that very quickly.
Well, I think it's gotten to that. And the question is, I don't think it's ever too late because even amongst the rubble, we can rebuild. But how much rebuilding do we want to have to do? Maybe we have to do a lot. But right now, it's not the time to stay quiet anymore. It really isn't, unless you really want to see it all fall apart.
I totally agree. I'll let someone else speak as well. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Take care.
All the best.
Am I right? Why is my voice like? Oh, because this is a. Okay, sorry. Am I right? We have more listeners than I think we've ever had. I saw 84. We've never been above like 40. What's going on, Gila? What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. I'm thrilled everybody is here. We got 84 people with us right now. This is insane.
So another 16, and I can see if this thing can hold three digits.
That's correct.
All right. So,
actually, now we're up to 85.
All right, 15 more people, and I can expand the screen here.
I mean, y'all load up on guns, bring your friends. I'm just saying.
Wait, what?
The team spirit.
Oh.
Thanks, Kyle.
I don't know when I'm being quoted at. I'm sorry. We have another phone call?
Yes.
Okay. Again, I should point out the phone number, which I'm going to give out yet again, 802-321-4225. If you call that number now, you will wind up in voicemail hell. And there's not much that you can do about that, unfortunately. But you have to wait till somebody stops talking, and then there's a single line. And a lot of other lines that go to voicemail. That's just how it works. And I guess it's an opportunity now to call in because nobody's on the phone.
802-3- So I ripped it off the wall. I'm sorry.
802-321-4225 is our phone number.
I cut myself while shaving.
All right, enough of that.
Now I can't make a call.
Yeah, it's just YouTube. I don't think you can even do that on YouTube without
We're up to 88.
It couldn't get much worse here.
Oh, no. I think it's quite the opposite. It's getting much, much worse.
And here we go again. Keila, every week?
Yep, watch out. Watch out.
All right. Do you have a phone call?
Yes.
All right. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. There's nobody there, Kyle. See, that's a busy signal, even though it's not really indicating a busy line. That's just what you get now for some reason.
I think we're up to 90 now.
Well, you know, here's the thing. When you get more people involved, you get more jokesters involved, and that's why you're getting off the hook tones and busy signals and things like that. Soon people will call and tone us. You know what that is when someone calls and leans on a touchtone? Yeah, it's part of the dark side of popularity.
We can breeze through them. I mean, it's not even a thing.
87, here. Only 13 more, and we get to 100.
Actually, I've got us at 90 right now.
How do we get more people to listen? Because we have to talk to them to get them to listen, which means they're listening if we can talk to them.
All right, last chance from this.
Maybe some of the people who are listening now can call their friends and ask them to listen to get us to 100.
Wouldn't that be cool?
All right, we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm your Toronto caller from a few months ago.
Hey, so, Toronto.
Yes.
Where they have no meetings. They still have no meetings in Toronto, right?
Yeah, well, I'm happy to try to start one.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I was part of an asterisk group for about 10 years, and then it just died. Uh-huh. Happy to start. I'll look into it and communicate with you. But I have a couple other questions.
Go ahead.
So we get some interesting news up here, and I'm wondering if anybody know about the Balaji theory about digital cities?
No, not expressly.
Do you know who Biology is? Okay, so Biology is a very smart guy, B-A-L-A-J-I-I, I believe. He's an American, I guess, of Indian background, and he has, like, multiple PhDs, chemical engineering, mechanical engineering, Stanford, you know, smart guy. Started one of the founders of Coinbase. Left Coinbase about 2 years ago, and he is in an undisclosed location someplace.
Oh, dear.
Some people suspect he's in Singapore, but we don't know.
Okay.
He is, every time he's interviewed, the interview's at least an hour and a half long, and sometimes, and it's just full of stuff. And somebody asked, Tim Ferriss asked him in an interview, says, so what do you do in your spare time? He said, I read. So he has this concept of digital cities. And they are not geographic cities. They are virtual cities. And that this is what this is all about. Elon wants to create a digital, he wants to create digital cities. And that's the ultimate. That's what he wants. And does anybody know about the Mission to Mars book that was written by, who's the German that did the, I'm trying to think. I can't think of the name right now. Anyway, it was a German, one of the paperclip people. You know, that came from after the Second War, that the U.S. government let them in because they had so much great engineering experience.
Okay.
I'll think of his name in a minute here. So he wrote a book called Mission to Mars, and the premise is that they're playing this mission to Mars. And there's a lot of technical information evidently in it about the rockets and how to land and all this stuff. But they go on and they talk about that they actually made the mission to Mars, and when they get there, there's already a colony there. And
wow.
It's living underground. And it's you can find this. This is available out there. And there's a colony already there, and it's all they all live underground. And the dictator of the colony is the Elon. And Musk's father read the book, and that's where Elon gets his name.
Interesting. You know, I saw a reference to that where. Elon Musk himself apparently was finding out about this, and he seemed surprised, mm-hmm. like he had never heard of it before.
Well, what do you expect of somebody who attends the inauguration on ketamine? Did you see the video of him in the background? He's like tweaking on drugs. He's really affected.
Well, he was sitting next to Trump's youngest son, and I think he was looking embarrassed. So yeah, I could imagine.
So, no, I mean, he admitted on an interview that he does ketamine once a week.
So, okay, well, you know, it's...
Anyway.
It's his
so,
life.
So, anyway,
but...
I'm just wondering if any... Well, no, it is. And if that's what you want, if that... I started a business many years ago in Chicago where I shared an office space with a small company. And the company turned out to, the owner turned out to every Friday night, he wanted to, he and his general manager wanted to just cook their brains out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would do all kind of things, and eventually the business went bankrupt. The guy went bankrupt. Everything happened, and all I could think of was, well, when you own your own business, it gives you the right to do anything you want to, even if that means coking it up your nose. And he did. So anyway, I just wonder if anybody had seen this theory and what was going on. And I'm looking at it as a guide to what we can expect, because I think all this stuff that Trump is doing, first of all, I don't think he's smart enough to know the stuff he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is all Project 2025 stuff that's been in the works for a while. And that they have an ultimate goal about this. And I'm trying to stay ahead of it so I can stay above ground and alive.
And that's smart. That's smart to stay ahead of it and know these things and see what's coming.
Yeah, understanding people's philosophy and the things that are instructive to them is a way to is a window into their thinking, and perhaps forecasting their actions can be, you know, derived from those insights.
Yeah, and there are some, sad to say, pretty smart people behind this. I think they've already figured out Plan B, Plan C, and Plan D. So when people go to court and file suits and this and it's all, but it was amazing to watch on the news today that the number of people demonstrating around in every state capital around the United States.
Well, it does not have to be one thing at a time.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I can't say I was smart enough 20 years ago when I came to Canada to come here. But boy, am I glad I'm here.
Yeah. So, you know, and Canada is just a breath of fresh air. You know, we've been watching a lot of Canadian TV over the past couple of weeks, and it's just, it's an oasis. It really is. And please stay who you are, and don't be affected by the craziness coming out of here.
Yeah. So has anybody ever read Heinlein, Stranger in a Strange Land?
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. So there's the Elon story right there. He's Michael Smith.
Oh, don't ruin that book, man. That's such a good book. I hate to think. Oh, Lord. Oh, no.
The trouble is, I think Elon thinks he's Michael Smith.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think Michael Smith was ever that nasty and mean. So, I mean, in the story, anyway, I think he was benevolent and he, you know, meant well. But that's what I thought of Elon up till about a month before he started supporting Trump.
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe this is it.
You know, I can't really identify with Elon Musk, but I've known people who are kind of like him. And obviously he had access to a lot of things. Obviously he was very enthusiastic and, you know, pretty bright about many things. When you inject unlimited power, unlimited money, it changes who you are. And unfortunately, that is what has happened to him. He doesn't see it. His followers don't see it. But it's a tragic story. It will be a tragic story, mark my words. Because when you have access to so much, I mean, look at what happened to Michael Jackson. You know, somebody who just had his own world around him, completely loses sight. Look at any dictator. Look at Kim Jong-un. Look at Ceausescu, look at, you know, even Lukashenko, all kinds of people that are just blinded to what's going on in the actual world, and they don't see it coming when reality catches up to them. And it's a damn shame because this guy, he has a lot to offer, you know, a lot of his technology, it really, you know, it's doing cool things, but the price now is just, it's just way too high. It's so negative now.
So did you see that Amazon closing down all their operations in Province Quebec?
I did hear about
that.
And
they're claiming that it has, nothing has to do with the union trying to form. But
it's obvious. You
know,
that, yeah.
I think that's it. But, well, and I heard that Bezos, and I don't know when it was, whether it was today or recently, said he wants every Amazon employee to wake up every morning and be terrified that they might be fired that day and replaced by a robot.
What a nice guy. Yeah, you see, it's just when you have such wealth in your hands, such power, it's so rare that you stay a good person. It really is. Anyway, listen, thank you for your call.
The people that make it possible for him to be there. Mm-hmm. No, just the people that make it possible for him that do what he does and be there is the ones he's essentially taking a shit on. So,
thanks for
taking my call and listening to me rant a little bit.
And I hope we hear about a meeting coming out of Toronto soon.
Well, I'll go look it up and see what I can do about it.
All right. Appreciate it.
Please come back.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care. Yeah, on the subject of Project 2025. Remember, we were talking about Project 2025 last year. Republicans were saying, "Oh, this—you know—that's just a bunch of people just independently coming up with ideas. Got nothing to do with the Trump campaign." You know what? They might not have been telling the truth. Some of the Office of Personnel Management (OPM) memos that have been sent to federal workers about firing and hiring freezes and mandatory return to office demands. Well, according to 404 Media, they were seemingly written by people who were previously employed by the Heritage Foundation and other conservative think tanks with longstanding loyalties to President Donald Trump. That's according to metadata on the memos posted by the government online. We know this because the senders of the memos failed to scrub the metadata from those documents, making it easy for anyone to reveal the listed authors of the memos. The 2025 Presidential Transition Project better known as Project 2025, is a right-wing agenda from the Heritage Foundation that lays out the blueprint for remaking the federal government by firing government workers to install conservative right-wing figures. The priorities of its authors include restricting access to reproductive care, mass deportations, and firing civil servants to replace them with Trump loyalists. Memos to federal chief human capital officers, HR directors, and heads of agencies are available publicly on the CHCO website. The memo author metadata was spotted by someone on Reddit's r/FedNews community in response to a federal workers post. So, yeah, that's from 404 Media. Very definite link. So in case you thought it was an exaggeration, it wasn't. And probably the next warning won't be as well.
Shout out to 404 Media and I think the people that wrote the Wired article, those investigators, and a lot of other independent self-publishing investigative journalists that are talking to people, getting witnesses, getting information, getting sources together. It's helping it make it to other outlets in a much higher at a much higher frequency than normal, and it's really crucial to have that and have those outlets continuing to do that work, however big or small.
And to those people who continue to criticize us for revealing information or just questioning things, I mean, it's when you realize who is actually calling the shots here and who is questioning them. These are journalists, okay? Wired, 404 Media, all the others, they are journalists uncovering things. If you're criticizing them, you're not questioning. If you think they're part of some massive conspiracy, but the billionaires aren't, yeah, you're fooling yourselves. I mean, there's no nice way to say that. Journalism is so important, and when journalism is the enemy, you're probably on the wrong side.
Also, Ars Technica and The Register, stay salty out there.
Yeah, there's so many. You need to support as much in the way of independent journalism as possible. And you also see how they can get corrupted by those very same people, those very same billionaires, when they buy newspapers, when they buy media organizations. They can corrupt them. They can make them do their bidding. Remember when the Washington Post wasn't allowed to endorse Kamala Harris? They had it written up, but Jeff Bezos said no. And now that's the same Jeff Bezos threatening his workers, showing up on Inauguration Day, bending the knee, kissing the ass. Yeah. Are we surprised? Oh, we have a phone call? All right. 802-321-4225.
I believe this is a regular.
A regular caller?
Yes.
Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Who are you?
Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman, a regular caller.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Surviving. I've been better. I was just calling in to say Elon Musk is one of quite a number of transhumanist billionaires.
Oh, he's not going to like the word the trans part of that. I know that.
Oh, well, he's a transhumanist. He wants humans to merge with AI, to achieve a symbiosis with artificial intelligence. And his company, Neuralink, aims to facilitate this.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it's going to be mandatory.
There's a lot of transhumanist billionaires who want human beings to separate themselves from their bodies.
Well, you know, I think there's probably a lot of people that would want him to do that first and see how it goes and then get back to us.
Mm. Yeah, there are people who want to freeze themselves just before death so they can be cured in the future. Lots of luck with that.
Yeah, I think they need to work on the present before they think about the future and maybe try to cure themselves now.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on your mind?
But you were just saying what you thought about Elon Musk thinking, and so I just wanted to let you know that.
That's a good reminder. That is also an aspect of this, and there's a company for that, apparently. And it has a lot to do with brain-computer interfaces, which has been something that has been speculated about, theorized about, written about for a very long time. Unfortunately, when you have a sort of consolidation or you have people first to market with something and then they patent and make it impossible for there to be any sort of competition, and then their benevolence ends up being mandatory, as E insinuated, you create an environment where people do not have agency in how they use these technologies. Even if they voluntarily sign up, there may be mechanisms and things that are designed to sort of bypass free will without you even knowing. So I think that level of discussion is not something they want to be upfront about. They want to demonstrate it and create a product, but I don't know that they want to open up how this will be implemented. And you could be talking about a service like Amazon in the same breath. So I mean, there's a lot about the implications that discourse and the public comments have to do the heavy lifting on.
If you could upload your pseudo personality into a computer and pretend that that's really you, if you upload everyone into computers, who's going to be taking care of the computers and the electricity and everything else?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the questions, the types of questions. And if it's that younger generations or people that are not yet doing that, transitioning, shall we say, and they're learning from embodiments of past humans, how can you guarantee, or what sort of error checking would even be possible to make sure they're learning from the approximations of those humans in an accurate way? And then what type of society does it become? Do you then have those generations failing to meet their own basic needs as a result of what they're taught by the machines that are left?
You know, if this were a Black Mirror episode, we would just now be discovering that Elon Musk has already done this and that he is AI, you know, and that would explain an awful lot and make it a lot easier to just, you know, unplug it.
Has anyone seen his personal assistant?
Gosh, I feel sorry for whoever that is or whatever that is. Any other thoughts, caller?
No, that's what I called up to say.
All right, well, hang in there, and we'll see you down the road.
Okay.
Take care. All right, we're almost out of time, but let's see if we can get one or two more phone calls in. We have so many listeners now. 802-321-4225. It's weird. I can make my voice do all kinds of things just by moving that knob around.
It's returning the audio so that the callers can hear us.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
It's also going out to our guests so they can monitor the phone calls themselves since they're not here.
But to me, I sound more muffled like this, but if I do this, I sound crisper, but then I also sound a little distorted.
Well, I believe you're bringing the fader past unity on our mixer, which adds dB to the output. But
I'm
love
not
when
you
exactly,
talk AV. It's just, it's so amazing.
Not exactly an audio engineer. I'm self-taught and I have a lot to learn, and there are much better audio
engineers.
Well,
there's an audio engineer calling in to correct your words.
I'm
so
sure there is.
And good evening. You're on Off the Overtime. Go ahead.
Yo, what's up?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Newark.
Newark, New Jersey or Newark, Delaware?
New York, New Jersey. Bro.
Okay. All right. That's the original one.
How you doing today, Golson?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
All is well, my brother. All is well. Also doing a little project with my dad. We were building a little dipole, and it came out pretty nice.
Cool.
I just came to call you. I just want your take on, like, apparently Elon Musk takeover is causing rift in the president's inner circle. What's your take on that?
Well, we were talking about that before. It's inevitable that, you know, Trump does not like when anybody takes the spotlight from him. And Elon Musk certainly is taking the spotlight from anybody. So I imagine he's already a bit miffed at this. Hasn't quite made its way into the public yet, but I give it maybe another week or two before some indication of that happens. Question is, how does Elon Musk react to that? Does he just, you know, bow down to Trump, or does he somehow stand up to him? And that's going to be interesting either way.
All right. Thank you so much, brother. I owe you a Pepsi.
Okay, fair enough. Take care.
Well, I think it past evidence has indicated he tends to have a tenacity, a sort of a relentlessness.
Which one?
Elon Musk.
Okay.
About these kinds of projects.
Why do villains always have single syllable last names?
I don't know.
Hmm. I mean, think about it.
It's not that interesting, but
Trump, Musk, Biden, two syllables. Obama, three, huh? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Sanders, two.
It's like a simplified.
I'm just saying, you know, there's something there.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Does it instruct their simple solutions for things? But anyway, I'll just say that.
Finish your thought.
Even if things are going badly, there may not be an off ramp in their mind.
No, that's certainly true. Before we go to this call, people out in Skype land, do you have anything to say? You've been kind of frozen there for a while.
Well, now that we're talking about villains with one syllable last names, I mean, going back through presidents, we've got Bush and also Bush.
Yeah, but then there's Reagan, and then there's Nixon. But Kennedy, Kennedy three. There's something
Cheney
there.
Has two syllables.
Roosevelt, and again three. All right. Eisenhower, the best of all, four syllables. And then Truman. Okay, I've said enough. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Speak up. Is anybody?
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead. You're
can
on.
You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say something about today. I was reading something where the president signed a ban trans in sports kind of thing. I don't know what it's a type of legislation that says trans can't compete in, I guess, with men or something, or with women, or whatever, something like that.
Trans women cannot compete in girls or women's sports, yes.
Something like that, yeah. He signed that legislation today. And I just find this is like their new, like, this is like a new, I'm not even on either side of this trans thing. I'm not even pro-trans, I'm just very neutral with this. But I just think this is like the new dog whistle with these Republicans, this whole trans thing. They keep beating this thing to death. You know, there's like five trans people even in sports. I was reading something online that actually looked into this, and out of every sport you can think of, there's only three trans people playing at any kind of serious level. So this is about three people, this whole thing. There's only, if you combine every sport, only three of them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're just beating this thing to death, trans. I don't know why this is. And this is like their new thing. It kind of just gets their gins up their base. And,
well, my theory is that it's relatively easy to scare people by saying that there are men in the locker room of women. And it's just, it's really the most absurd thing. You know, ask the people who are playing the sports without their parents hovering over them to tell them what to say. Ask them how they actually feel about this. Ask them how they feel about their teammates. Ask them if it's something that intimidates them in any way or is unfair to them. And listen to those answers, not, you know, the elderly white male politicians that are using this to get people into a panic and to spread hatred around, because that is what we are seeing repeatedly.
Yeah, it's like an invasion of a bunch. They make it seem like there's millions of these people, and they're all over, and, you know, and he's just crazy.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. Aguila, go ahead.
I mean, it's also the same exact rhetoric that's been used to fearmonger about all kinds of groups since time immemorial. The exact same arguments that are getting made about trans people today were made about gay people 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or made about black people 60 years, 70 years ago. They're going to move next to you. They're going to, like, turn your kids. They're going to change the world. Here's the other question I have. How many of these people have ever been in a women's restroom? Because you know what we have in women's restrooms? Doors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, men's rooms have places where you all stand there and pee together, and we don't have that.
Yes.
Women, in a public women's restroom, there is a certain expectation of privacy. And if maybe somebody knocks on your wall and says, hey, do you have a tampon? Then you pass a tampon under the door. We're not like running in on each other.
Right.
And I think there is a general lack of understanding about what is actually happening here and attempting to be this big, scary boogeyman.
Yeah, the first time that I was in a gender-free bathroom was at the Chaos Communication Congress. And, you know, I was in the building, and I was in the bathroom, and I was washing my hands. And I just looked to the right of me and said, oh, there's a woman standing next to me. Wow. That was it. I mean, what else can you possibly expect in a bathroom setting? You know, you're doing your business in a stall, and then you're washing your hands. I mean, I think we can manage that. That's not that big a deal. And then in SeaTac Airport, Seattle, they have incredible bathrooms where I don't spend a lot of time in public bathrooms, but these are two that I remember. And I remember going in there, and basically there's like this kind of hallway where people are there with their baby carriages, families, and then there's stalls, you know, with doors that go all the way down to the floor. And you don't know who's behind the door. Could be a man, could be a woman, could be a child. You have no idea. It doesn't matter. Because once you come out, you're back in mixed society again. You know? So as long as people aren't going with you into the stall, this is a non-issue. But what these politicians have done, they've made it into a big issue with a lot of the voting public. And they're panicking. And whenever anybody panics about something, it's likely they're being misled by the people in charge.
I know. I wish some of these voters can actually look into this and see that this is not, there's no epidemic here. There's not millions of these people. It's just very few of these people that even exist. You know, it's just, you know, I was reading something. It's like less than 1% of the American population is trans. This whole noise is about less than 1% of the American population.
But even if it was 10%, it still wouldn't be an issue because they're not a threat, you know? I think that's the point that you're making. Go ahead, Kyle.
I just want to make two points. A big part of this is about visibility and resentment around the visibility because it might lead to questions that parents don't want to have, you know, answer when it's brought up or if there's, you know, issues in the learning and learning environment, people with classmates. It kind of forces people to confront things that they may not be familiar with. And I think the increase in visibility and the discussion of it validates the existence of people who are there already. But by communicating and talking about it, it actually, you know, as difficult as it may be, it does support the understanding that you're amongst people in any of these public spaces at any one time that may not be, you know, may not have had the same experience in life as you at all, especially around their gender identity and where they're at with it and what is going to help them thrive and feel safe in our society. And when you have people that understand they have their right to exist, you have support in vast numbers. But if you don't talk about it, it creates, I think, a much more dangerous environment because there is an understanding. And this thing about not being allowed in female spaces, I don't think people quite realize how much more dangerous people identifying in that way, how much more dangerous the time they would have in male spaces. As sort of punishment or being relegated to that because of these kinds of attitudes. And it's essentially making female spaces as hostile, potentially, because of the kind of policing and discomfort that is being promoted around this. So, yeah, we're hearing more about it. We should be hearing more about people that are not like, you know, the family members we may encounter or our typical understandings, but it doesn't mean they're any less valid or that they aren't out there. So, yeah, in the past, they may not have had as much visibility, but it's in part due to my mind that they're getting a little bit more attention, and they have, and with media and social media and the networks that we're using, the ability for that information to be in the discourse, good or bad, you know, malinformed or otherwise, people are going to be more aware. So we got to counter that sort of negativity with, you know, the kind of support that being widely understood should be for these individuals and for all of us as a society. So, like, yeah, it's unfortunate it's being characterized this way, but we have to appreciate that this is an effect of you know, the information age. We should be aware of this, and we should not invalidate people because of their experience and with identity and so forth. So that's just my take.
Anyway, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the show. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
All right, thanks for calling. Take care. All right. Want to take one more phone call?
Yes.
We still have, like, at least twice as many listeners as we usually do, so more people have something to say.
I don't know what's happening here, but it's amazing.
Well, we haven't hit 100 yet, so I'm disappointed.
It doesn't take much to redesign spaces, too.
Maybe
spaces.
If only three people called in, then I'd be at 90, and that's a compromise.
That's a good high mark.
Not called in, but connected. I don't know how
high marks.
Yeah. And that brought the number down. 802-321-4225. Yes, Alex, looks like you have something.
No, I was just hoping for a phone call.
Okay.
That was just my normal gesticulation.
You just looked like you had something to say, but I guess...
No. I'm just a vapid void over here.
That's disappointing, but... do we have another phone call?
We'll allow it. Yes, we do.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi there. Gonna end the show with Johnny Fusion.
Hey, how you doing? Are you driving?
I'm doing. What's that?
Sounds like you're driving.
I'm in a Lyft.
Okay, well, then you're in a vehicle. Treatment. You're in a vehicle. I got it right. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I was, you know, it's like I was listening to Off the Hook and Overtime. Well, not Overtime. But Off the Hook on the WBA website using Stanford's Wi-Fi, but Stanford blocks it for some reason. They block various things, that, you know, public Wi-Fi, hospital, and stuff. But it was pretty easy to get around just by using a VPN.
Wait, Stanford is blocking what now?
The live stream at WBAI.
They block WBAI? That's kind of weird.
Is it because it's an applet, like a little thing on the main page?
Well, they blocked the stream, not the website.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you weren't doing it from their main page. You were just streaming on, like, VLC or something?
I think he clicked on...
I stream on the webpage, but I have to use the VPN to do it.
Okay. So maybe it didn't like the country that... Or the VPN somehow? I don't know if
I think you had
possible.
It right the first time. I think when he clicks on the applet or whatever it's called on the BAI website, I think there's something about that Stanford doesn't like. But,
like running
it probably, it probably uses, you know, because there's other things like my, like Second Life would be blocked and stuff, you know.
Well, okay.
I don't know what it's called.
Now that we've gotten past all these barriers, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just, what a couple weeks it's been, huh?
You could say that, yes.
Yeah. It's crazy what's happening with Elon Musk and these young men who are doing his bidding in OPM in the Treasury Department. Mm-hmm. I just...
Yeah.
You know, this is a federal network, and it's supposed to have all these protocols and security clearances and, you know, basically to keep unauthorized access from this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they just plug right into the Ethernet or whatever.
Yeah, and
you know,
there's another issue too, in that these are agencies. Well, let's look at USAID. That is something that Kennedy basically came up with, and it was approved by Congress. And somebody just can't go in there and obliterate it. However, that is exactly what happened. Maybe, Alex, maybe you know something more about how it actually is supposed to work, but that's not right, right? I mean, somebody can't just go in because I'm asking Alex. That's because somebody decides they don't like that organization. They can't just send somebody from the private sector in to obliterate it. Does that seem reasonable?
No, it doesn't. It seems like it would require a more coordinated effort of government in order to do something like this, especially if it was created by statute, if it was created by Congress. It shouldn't be up to some kind of independent government contractor to determine whether or not this program continues to exist. You know, the president has a wide latitude and great discretion when it comes to things, you know, like the purse and public policy, but I don't think that without some kind of process and perhaps going through something like the Administrative Procedures Act, you can just dismantle bits and bobs of the federal government like this. I mean, it's really something we've never experienced before, so I don't necessarily have, I think, a really cogent answer to this. I just really only have a gut feeling.
And that's what I think they're counting on, is people that don't really know for sure. Right, Kyle?
And the actors, the unelected agents employing this, describing it, Musk himself saying that USAID has been put through the wood chipper, you know, like a Fargo reference.
Yeah.
And the president himself is basically, his big qualification for this is that he basically reckons that this is probably all right or not going to be a big deal.
He was asked directly, doesn't this have to go through Congress? And he's like, no, I don't think so. But he doesn't know. Nobody seems to know because no one ever thought something like this could happen.
And that's what you get when everyone has such fealty to him. They won't challenge anything.
Oh, no one's going to.
Up until this point. Let's say that, you know, people change, hopefully. But up until now, that's exactly the kind of thing that his loyalty expectations have demanded, and you then get no pushback.
I almost wish
things don't make sense.
I almost wish I had spent my life, you know, bending the knee to Trump and like becoming one of his trusted advisors, just so that I could one day be in front of a camera and say, "Are you out of your goddamn mind? You can't do that. you must be crazy." You know, just for that one moment. And I think there are people out there now that have sacrificed their entire lives to this idiot. This is your opportunity to you know, save yourself in history as somebody who actually stood up to him. Of course, you know, he'll make your life hell after that. But still, I think that rush, that feeling will be worth it. Go ahead, Gila.
Okay, so I just found an amazing piece of information that I wanted to share because it's too cool not to. So Representative Mark Pocan from Washington State introduced a bill today into the House entitled The Eliminate Looting of Our Nation by Mitigating Unethical State Kleptocracy.
That spells Elon Musk, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I love it. But, you know, the Patriot Act spells something, too. They can't just come up with words. They have to make them spell things.
So the fact that the Elon Musk Act seeking to ban special government employees from obtaining federal contracts.
Okay. All right.
It's petty, and I kind of love it.
It's one of your people, Kyle.
Move that along. Yeah, I've been getting surveys and you know, representative, very active inquiry from politicians there that are seeking comment. So definitely I'll be contributing to the discourse there. And I hope everyone else in the country, in every locality, is having the same kinds of conversations, challenging as they may be. It's important to talk about it and to make your voice heard.
Johnny, any final words?
Yes, it's important to realize that laws don't prevent anyone from doing anything. They just offer a remedy for when they're broken. So even though these actions of Doge and Trump are blatantly illegal, the law won't stop anyone from committing crimes. I mean, as a former Black Hat actor, I know that very well. You know, I've done illegal things, that there was a law saying I couldn't do it. It wasn't a deterrent. And these people have escaped justice their entire lives because of their wealth. You know, and Trump even more recently with his so-called sentencing for his felonies, he skated by. The law can't stop anything. It can only offer remedies. And with the courts captured by the right wing how it is now, there's nothing to stop them.
Well, there will be. There will be. And we're going to leave it there. Because
nothing in the government. This is, we're going to have non-governmental solutions.
Well, it can be arranged. It can be arranged. Anyway, thanks for the call. Get where you're going safely.
Good night, everyone.
And we'll talk to you again in the future.
Thank you.
All right. And I guess that's going to be our last call for tonight. Any closing thoughts, folks? Go ahead, Alex.
Sure. There are a number of lawsuits that are challenging the legality of the actions of this Doge in abolishing certain aspects of the federal government. And I do think the gut reaction here is right, that the president just shouldn't be able to do that. If you think about very basic civics in terms of the separation of powers, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, and Congress is the legislative branch, the executive branch should not be able to repeal or undo anything that Congress does without Congress repealing that law or undoing it themselves. So I think that the Doge's actions in dismantling many aspects of these federal programs that have been created by law are very likely to face significant challenges in courts, and I think some of these actions will probably be overturned. But we'll see.
Yeah, but Alex, you know, even if the actions are overturned, the damage is almost
unfixable. Definitely damage.
I mean, I know archive.org is grabbing a lot of the web pages that have been shut down, but a lot hasn't been, and a lot of things have been changed that, you know, won't be easily discoverable as far as what got changed and what didn't. And, you know, the very real possibility and certainty, in fact, that personal data has been compromised. Lots of it, maybe all of it. Maybe it's on flash drives. Maybe it's on hard drives in other places. All kinds of systems have been plugged in that shouldn't have been plugged in because they didn't go through the procedure that is part of how they run things. They thought it was stupid, so they just bypassed it, and they intimidated their way into these establishments. And we found out, you know, our institutions are a lot weaker than we thought they were. So that's kind of sobering. Gila, did you have something?
I did, actually. So first of all, I want to say we still have 75 people with us right now, which is insane. But also, we just tooted something on the show's Mastodon page, which is an opportunity that if you want to do something right now and you want to do something tangible, there is a repository on GitHub that will help you contribute CPU time to help the Internet Archive download and archive government pages right now. So if you go to our Mastodon page, which is at offthehook@hackers.town, you can find out more about participating in that project. You can also go to github/archive/team/us-government-grab and learn more about this project there as well.
Okay, and we'll hopefully get that info and send that out over the 2600 social media accounts, and hopefully more people can spread the word that way as well. because we really do need to we need to support each other. You're muted, Gila.
If I could point out one other thing I heard recently from a very smart person that I know, self-care is punk as fuck. And the thing is, if we burn out now, we can't accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fire hose of shit right now. And if you get overwhelmed by the fire hose of shit, you can't make change. So make sure you're taking care of yourself in addition to taking care of other people.
But if you can grab the fire hose at the same time and point it in a different direction, by all means, go for it.
Exactly.
Yes, Alex.
As a counterpoint, I'm very often bring up these counterpoints. I'd like to quote the Kurgan from the original Highlander. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
But Neil Young said that.
Maybe he did. Yeah.
Who didn't say that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say that. But you know, to quote the Beatles, "Good night." It's yeah, that was the last song on the White Album. We're done, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Any final mm-hmm. thoughts, Kyle?
Mess with the best, die like the rest.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one to go out with. Okay, everybody, please write to us oth@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. Yes, Gila.
Quick question: what is our format for next week?
What does that mean? Our format.
It means, are we taking calls on the show, or are we doing overtime next week?
Oh, I thought it was like beta or VHS. Well, it depends what the date is. Do you know what the date is?
Next week is the 12th.
That's mighty close to the middle of the month, so maybe we are taking phone calls next week, which means there will be no overtime next week. Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. How about we meet about that and see? So the way it works, folks, once a month we take phone calls on the radio show, but you know, taking phone calls really wears us out, so we don't have the energy to do overtime after doing that. Plus, it's pretty much the same format as overtime, except it's over the air, but it's shorter, and it ends at 7:55, which means, you know, that's it for that week. But if we don't take phone calls on off the hook, then we have overtime where we do take phone calls afterwards. And that can go, wow, it went an hour and a half tonight. Sometimes it goes longer, sometimes it doesn't. So we'll tell you by next week. How about that?
That sounds great. Right. I was just curious.
All right. Meetings again this Friday, 2600 meetings. Hopefully some Canadian 2600 meetings will start being born. That would be great. And try to find that copy of 2600 at your local bookstore before they're all gone, because the Elon cover apparently is quite popular. Who knew? All right. Good night, everybody.
We're gonna look for it in a couple of weeks.
See you next week.